Now, verse number 27 and 28 give us the joy of meditation, what they call as sukham. What is the joy of meditation and why should we meditate? And not only meditation, but those who are on the spiritual path, why do they go on the spiritual path? What do they benefit from it? So these are two very beautiful verses, 27 and 28. Prashant manasam henam yoginam sukhamuttamam upaiti shantarajasam brahma bhutam akalmasham. Together, prashant manasam henam yoginam sukham uttamam upaiti shantarajasam brahma bhutam akalmasham. Prashant manasam. Shanta means peaceful. Prashant means prakarshena shant, extremely peaceful, supremely peaceful mind. Manasam hi enam, whose mind is supremely peaceful. Enam yoginam, of this yogi whose mind is peaceful, he experiences sukham uttamam. Uttam means the highest, sukham means the joy. So he experiences the highest joy, the supreme sukha, the supreme bliss. Who? This yogi whose mind is quiet, and he upeti, he obtains, he gets this supreme joy, sukham. Who? He has again given more object adjectives describing this yogi. Bhagavan says, whose mind is quiet, shanta rajasam. As we know, there are three qualities that we are under. Sattva is purity, rajas is agitation, and tamas is ignorance. So a person whose agitation has been reduced, shanta rajasam, and whose mind is quiet, he experiences this supreme joy. And what has he become? Brahma bhutam. He has become one with Brahman. He has become one with God. And there is one more quality he needs, akalmasham. Kalmasham means kalma is the impurities, are the negativities or the wrong actions. So whose actions have become purified, whose wrong sins have been removed. So what are the requirements? If you want this supreme bliss, you have to quieten your mind. You have to remove negativities. You have to reduce the agitations and become one with God. So when you have these four, then you experience the supreme bliss. So what they have given us is a very logical way. You want to progress in spirituality, do these four things. Make your mind quiet. Reduce your negativity, your sins, your wrong tendencies. Reduce your overactivity, rajas, and become one with God. Consider I am not separate from God, because God is not far from us. We say, how far is God? You know, they say, oh, God is somewhere up in heaven. No, he's your own self. God is not far away. All you have to do is recognize. He's right here. He's amongst us. He's talking through me. He's listening through all of you. All our activities are happening because of God's presence. But the problem is we don't recognize it. And that is a whole purpose of meditation, that God is with me at all times. In fact, somebody was giving a very beautiful talk. And he says, suppose somebody is watching you at all times. Will you cheat on your taxes if somebody is watching? Or will you tell lies? Or will you steal something or take something that doesn't belong to you? No, you won't. You say, oh, this guy is watching. I can't take this. It doesn't belong to me. I cannot steal. But he says, Krishna is with you at all times. He is watching. Why don't you understand that? How can you do something wrong when God, God is with you at all times. So that is what they say. So this person experiences supreme peace. It is not the ordinary peace. You and I experience peace when we get what we want. And then after a while we get tired, and then again we want something more. But this person experiences permanent peace. Why? Because there is no rajas and no tamas. Tamas is ignorance. He knows what is right. And because of the right knowledge, he is not overactive. His mind is not agitated. His mind is not disturbed. His mind is... Why do you and I do the wrong things or do the wrong things? Because they call it as non-apprehension and misapprehension. Because I don't see God, that's why I chase in the world. So do the wrong things. And you and I are all looking for sukham, for joy. You know, for joy. You ask anybody, you want joy or sorrow? Joy. You want permanent joy or temporary joy, where sometime you get joy and then 3 months joy, 3 months sorrow, 3 months joy. No. I want 12 month joy. I want permanent joy, 365 days, 24/7. So you and I are searching for joy. And so anything gives us joy, you know, we say, joy, please come, sit with me. Don't leave. Joy, don't leave. You have come. And we are constantly chasing for joy. And joy is running around. And we say, come here, don't go, sit here, stay with me. For a yogi, Mahatma, joy, he doesn't care. He's sitting in his bliss. Joy comes looking for him. He says, sir, can I stay with you? He said, if you want to, you can stay. You don't want to leave. Because for him, he's always in that inner bliss. So worldly joys may come and go. Don't affect him. He says, you want to stay here? You don't want to? It's fine. I'm good. So joy comes looking for him, for the Mahatma. While you and I, we chase after joy. Okay? After we get this, I'll get some little joy, some little pleasure. And when the mind gets disturbed, or when things are not going well in life, you know, they say life is sixes and sevens. So there are three ways to handle. Say if you have problems in life, whatever could be, physical problem, relationship problem, money problem, business problem, whatever problem, things are not going well. So there are three ways to handle it. I'll tell you from the lowest to the highest. So one way to handle is, say it is because of my past karmas. You know, I must have done something, and so because of that I'm suffering. And that is one way where you take responsibility. It's okay. It was something I did. So that is number one. The second higher way of looking at it is that there is a divine doctor, the Lord Supreme, and whatever troubles are coming in my life, they are coming for my improvement. And look for positives, that even though these problems have come, even though I have not got what I wanted, some joy must be hidden. Some kuch chupa hoga isme. Look for that. And ultimately you will see that when you have that attitude, that no matter how many problems come, you can always learn and grow and evolve. So that is the second way. One is the karma theory. One is that the Lord is not giving anybody anything that is not for his improvement. And it is somehow, there is something that will make me better out of this. And the third and the best way is to look at it as a witness, as a drashta. It's not even happening. It's just a play. And in the play, I have been given the part of Anil or whatever role, or Vivek, and whatever my name, male or female, and that role I have been given. And I have this body, and in this body, things are happening. Things are happening to this mind. Things are happening to the intellect. It's not happening to me because I am not the body. Pitai ho rahi hai, hone do. You know, it's happening to the body. It's not happening to me. It does not mean that you don't take care of the body, but ultimately it's not even real. This whole world is a play. You know, Shakespeare said, this whole world is a play and we are actors. So I'm playing this role, and in that particular, just as in a movie, you know, there's one villain who does all things, and at the end of the movie, he gets beaten up, right? He may be the nicest guy, but they beat him up, put him in jail. But he knows it's not happening to me. It's happening to Pran, or it's happening to, you know, Shakti Kapoor, or whatever that villain's name is. He knows it's happening to the character. And so the character is being put in jail. I am not. So similarly, you know that it's not happening to me, it's happening to this character that I have been given by the director up in heaven. So with that, then no disturbance will bother you. And that's how the Mahatmas, they function in the world with that attitude. You know, body is hurting, it will hurt. If I can take medicine, I take. If not, I just bear it. And Shankaracharya ji very beautifully said, Bhoga ratova yoga ratova sanga ratova sanga vihinam yasya brahmani ramate chittam nandati 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 eva. He says, yoga ratova ya bhoga ratova. He says, whether in life I am getting bhogas or I am sitting in meditation, sanga rahoto ratova sanga vihinam, whether I have what I desire or I don't have what I desire. Yasya brahmani ramate chittam, one whose mind is always with Brahman, always with God, nandati nandati nand. He enjoys, even when he gets what he wants or he doesn't get. It's okay, you know, if he has the highest wealth. Payoji mene rama ratan dhan payo. For him, nothing is important. Nothing is as important as the Ram's joy. And when your mind gets disturbed, I was reading another commentary. He says when things are not going well, what he does, this Mahatma, when his students come and say, I'm very angry, I'm very disturbed. I'm so mad at my husband or I'm so mad at my boss. He gives them a book, a small notebook. He says, okay, sit down here and write the mantra 200 times. Sit down and write. You're angry at your boss, your spouse, your husband, your children. Yeah, sit down and write. Om Namah Shivaya 200 times, or Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, or name of the Father and the Son. When you write 200 times, by that time everything will be gone. So the point is that by chanting the name of the Lord, even the greatest sorrow will go away. So this is a beautiful exercise. If you can write down, it's best, or just start chanting in your mind. And the more you chant the name of the Lord, the more your mind will become peaceful. And how long should we do this? Do this till your mind becomes quiet and mind becomes centered in the Lord. But at the same time, our duties we have to do. See, in this Sri Ramchandra ji, there's a very beautiful example. He says when he was very disturbed, I don't know if you have read the book Yog Vasishtha, one of the most beautiful books they do have in the office. Very, very complete textbook. So Ramchandra ji was, as a teenager, young boy, was very disturbed because he didn't see what is the purpose of life. You know, he was looking for something higher. And Yog Vasishtha ji, his guru, gives him this beautiful knowledge. Muni Vasishtha ji gives him this text called Yog Vasishtha. Very, very nice book. Full of wisdom. So Ramchandra ji, when he heard, he went into samadhi. He went into meditation and he was gone. Because he was already, of course, he was Lord himself, highly evolved, you know, in the soul. And so he went into samadhi, and then Vishwamitra ji came and he needed him. Remember the story where all the demons were bothering the rishis and they were destroying their yagnas, and he needed Ram and Lakshman ji to come. So he told Yog Vasishtha, what happened to Ramchandra ji? He says, he's gone. So he says, please bring him out of meditation. You know, I need him. And we, not only I need him, all the saints in the forest need him, because these demons are torturing us and making life hell. And so then he was brought out and he was taken. So the point is that when there is duty, then Ramchandra ji understood, okay, now is not my time to meditate. Now is my time to help the world. And so the point is that when it comes, you do your duty, but all the time remain centered in the self. And the example they give in meditation is like a rocket, where a rocket, now if it takes off from Cape Kennedy, you know, in Florida, what will happen is initially the Earth's gravity is very strong. And so they have to get all these boosters, you know, stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, all these tremendous boosters that push the rocket up, 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 up. And when it gets out of the Earth's gravity after about 18 or 20 miles, then the rocket can flow smoothly. So then it flies smoothly without much effort. Then you don't need much fuel. Why? Because the rocket is now is out of the Earth's gravity, and it flies, flies, flies. And when it comes to the moon, now it has to land on the moon, right? So what happens? Then the rocket stops firing, and then it relaxes, and then the moon's gravity pulls it to the moon. And as the rocket is landing, in fact, it's landing with so much force, they have to put parachutes or, you know, reverse thrust to slow down the descent so that it doesn't crash and it lands on the moon gently. So similarly, you and I, when we are sitting for meditation, the pull of the objects, emotions and thoughts is so strong that we have to put a lot of effort in the beginning. And then once we have been meditating for a while, then our mind becomes calm, and then we are able to flow in meditation like that rocket. And then ultimately the last step, where I have to become one with God, then God himself pulls you. So the last step, you say, God, I can only come up to this point. After that, it is his job or her job, you know, whatever, or its job, because God is has no sex in Sanskrit. It's Brahman, which is neither male nor female. It is neuter. So that consciousness, that Atman, the self, ultimately pulls you inward. And so the last step is for God to do it. So you do what you can. You come up to a point and say, Bhagwan, now it is your job. So that is called becoming Brahman. You become one with that Brahman, with that consciousness, become one with that reality. So that is called Brahma Bhutam Akalmasham.